I cooked it for a amount of time. Oh, dang. But if the lemon bars don't turn out, beep, beep, we're getting lemon pound cake again. Beep,
beep. 40 hour week and I spend it on my head. Follow me like sheep till I cross some Cartoon Ever. Tripping over and you're stuck up on the grass, I can't handle it. Losing all my grasp, I can't answer it. I don't really know what's going on. She bet like photo bomb. She like cookies tag alone. She won't hold up on my hand. She gon' pause up on my song.
Welcome to TSB Goes to the Movies. I'm Alex. That's King. That's Ski. Tweet at one of us if you want us to watch your movie. You can also join our Discord if you want to give us suggestions there. This week is your movie, so feel free to give us suggestions. I might write them down. Probably won't. But that's where you can give them to us. You can also like text them to us or give them to us if you know us that way, which is how we got our movie. That's how we got our movie this week.
Horseback.
Yeah. Yeah. Pony Express, right? Yeah. So also sports podcast every Thursday, going to be Wednesday this week, twitch.tv/abrog87, ABRAWG87. If you want to watch that live, if you miss those, you can see them on YouTube because that's where I post them. I also post the top three lists we do. Also going to start posting the lines segment that we do, separately on there too. I'm doing a lot of video editing, guys, but you can see those on YouTube. So like the two of you who benefit from watching those on YouTube every week, like, have at them. What the
My
hell?
Grandma.
What the hell? Yeah. Our movie this week came from a listener. King, will you tell us who the listener is?
This is random listener Brianna from Klamath Falls.
Love it. So Brianna from K Falls. Let's go.
So shout out to all my Pelicans from Klamath Union and all my hustling owls from Oregon Tech.
Yeah.
OIT, shout out baby. To Klamath, baby.
OIT, baby, all day long.
Kurt, I think you used to live in Lake Ridge or Lake View or whatever. It's
one of the lakes. Yeah.
One of the lakes over there. Shout out to you as well.
All right. The movie is How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. It is currently on Paramount, the app, and it came out in 2003. And it looks like it came out in 2003. 42% on Rotten Tomatoes,
brutal.
A 6.5 on IMDb, and a 45 on Metacritic. I remember, is it surprising I hadn't seen this movie before? I remember seeing those scores before I started watching it, and I was like, that seems high. Because I kind of remember these movies getting crapped on a little. Like, I know like a lot of people were into them, but like I remember
rom-coms,
they got good reviews, right?
Rom-coms in the early 2000s were very fondly remembered.
The era. It was like the era.
Yeah, it's that early 2000s, you know, Wedding Planner, probably like Miss Congeniality was around that time. It's
Failure
like,
to Launch.
Failure to Launch.
Summer Catch.
Summer Catch.
I might say maybe the late 90s beat it out for rom-coms. But
Sleepless in Seattle.
You Got Mail. Yeah.
Tom Hanks. Do it in the 2000s.
Yeah, the Meg Ryan era. Yeah.
Do it in 2000s.
In the 2020s, Tom.
Overboard, which
works
for this movie as well.
Meg Ryan was so interesting because like she had that great run of rom-coms, and then she did like a movie where she was like kidnapped. It was like Proof of Life or something like that, where she with like Russell Crowe, I think, and she was like kidnapped or something. It was really weird. It's like, why are you making this movie? Like, stick to the bread and butter, man. Do you not like making millions of dollars? And yeah, I mean, it was really weird, but anyway. I might be making that movie up too.
You might be.
Very possible. How to Lose
Sounds
a Guy.
Sounds like a Liam Neeson movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he was the bad guy in it. I don't remember. No. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is not 10 Things I Hate About You. No. which we realize.
Yeah, I realized that late. I'm sorry.
So sorry to our Discord because we got mixed up on that.
Yeah, I was like, the Heath Ledger movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm kind of down.
I can sell that one to the guys.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That one I've seen.
It's the Joker guy.
Yeah.
Nope. It's Matthew McConaughey's abs. His rippling, sweaty, pulsating, vibrating, tanned abs. And toxic femininity all around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Just, again, just putting guys out there and making them take their clothes off in movies, like, just a... Like, just, is that all they are? Is just a sexual being to you? Yeah. Can
believe in men? You know what
like,
I mean?
It's like the opposite of the Bechdel test or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, all they talk about is having sex with Matthew McConaughey. That's every single conversation that these females are having in this movie. It's like
literally
it's enough.
Disgusting.
Enough.
Literally shaking.
Just toying with men's emotions, breaking their hearts. I mean, yeah this is. Toxic femininity. Yeah,
like the New York Times, the whole thing about, let's fuck with the guy's emotions.
Yep.
Gross. Terrible. But,
and this, he's like a stereotype, right? He's like super into sports. He's like,
this was interesting.
He drives a motorcycle.
Interesting time for McConaughey here, though. You know, McConaughey like playing kind of the douchebaggy prototype, like bro dude. That was early 2000s McConaughey. Then he became a real actor.
Yeah, yeah. What turned it around for him? Was it True Detective? It must have been, right?
No.
Was there something before then? Sahara? Was it Sahara?
It might have been a little Clive Cussler classic Sahara with Steve Zahn.
I tell you what, it wasn't Beach Bum.
It was definitely not Beach Bum. No.
Too good. Okay, let's get to the cast. So, as we mentioned, I'm going to start with Matthew McConaughey because, frankly, Kate Hudson has the highest billing in this, and we got to take down the monarchy. You know what I mean? So Matthew McConaughey plays Ben. This is too good. Kate Hudson plays Andy Anderson. Nice name. Catherine Hahn, Catherine Hahn.
Catherine Hahn
plays Michelle. Annie Parisi plays Jeannie. Adam Goldberg plays Tony. Hadn't seen Adam Goldberg in a long time. Yeah.
I got a real problem with that guy.
Okay. Hang on one second. Tom Lennon, young Tom Lennon, by the way, like, was this around Reno 911 or
had to be before?
Yeah, before
this was,
maybe, right?
This was just catching a gig, Tom Lennon, before he started
when he's like on the state, like
like before he started like realizing that he can make a lot of money writing shit.
The museum movies.
Or everything. He wrote a ton of shit, but yeah.
Yes. And Robert Klein.
Good to see Robert Klein.
Plays Philip Warren. Hadn't seen Robert Klein in a very long time. That was interesting. All right, what do you got wrong with Adam Goldberg?
Everything he does. I'm the neurotic Jewish guy. I saw him and I was like, oh my God, I haven't seen this movie in 20 years. Let me guess, neurotic Jewish guy. Oh, wow, real shocking there, Adam.
Well, someone had to take over from Billy Crystal, right? I mean,
Billy Crystal had some range. He could go to Paris and be an NBA referee.
Yeah,
he could ride on the range with Curly. I mean,
Goldberg is always in New York, being like, "Oh, I don't know about this one."
That is true.
Terrible. Billy Crystal,
same
wear...
beard, same hair. Mm-hmm. Google him now. He's got the same beard and the same hair. He just wears bomber jackets, and he's got a feud with someone named Adam F. Goldberg. The guy stinks, and he's a box, and he makes me want to root for him. I didn't say that.
What?
That's the truck backing up.
Yeah. Here you go. I'll pivot here for you. What did you have a bigger problem with? Adam Goldberg or the fact that they just had to shove the New York Knicks being in an NBA finals down your throat?
Oh my God. Both. But hey, I didn't have to see Stephon Marbury. You want to know what? I didn't have to see that legend.
They did show Kurt Thomas.
They did show Kurt Thomas.
And Allen Houston.
Allen Houston,
and,
yeah.
No, a
yeah.
lot of Latrell Sprewell.
And a lot of Sprewell, yeah.
I'm happy with. Like, frankly, that bumps this movie up quite a bit.
We got
Knicks Latrell Sprewell, which is like right during the spinning rims and the cornrows era of Sprewell. Like, yeah. Peak Sprewell.
And of all the kings that they would like highlight in this, it was Jackson. It wasn't
Bobby Jackson.
Yeah, it wasn't Peja. It wasn't like C Web. It was Bobby Jackson. That's it, wasn't who
Jason Williams.
Yeah.
Mike Bibby.
Give me Bobby Jackson.
Scott Pollard. Yeah. Give me a Rick Adelman while you're at it.
I'm pretty sure they showed Bibby missing a jumper in the highlights. I think that's all the Bibby we got. Oh, it's so good. Real question about Billy Crystal before I get into the writers of this. Did he wear dark blue jeans in every movie he was in?
No, that's Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay.
Billy Crystal, Jerry Seinfeld, both from New York. Yeah, that's all they wore was jeans.
Both Mets fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
What's the deal with his denim?
Ask a question, get an answer. This is based on a book that was written by Michelle Alexander and Jeannie Long. The screenplay was by Brian Regan. Not that Brian Regan.
It wasn't. I just saw Brian Regan, assumed it was somehow that Brian Regan from,
like, the puppet comedian.
Yeah.
Nope, not that guy. Burr Steers and Kristen Buckley. Buckley and Regan also wrote 102 Dalmatians, and that is the only other movie they wrote. Steers also wrote Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
I mean, he didn't write Pride and Prejudice. That was a book.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, the movie, which is also.
Oh, and Zombies. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. No. No, that's not two movies. That's one.
Yeah,
movie.
I thought that was two separate movies.
No. Did you miss the series of books? There was like Abraham Lincoln Zombie Killer, and then Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
I should have gone. If I went to Powell's, I would have picked up on those books. And
totally. Yeah. Get educated for once.
By the way, Google Billy Crystal wearing denim. He had some fits.
I know. That's why I asked. Sweaters
with his denim. Man, that guy has some fits.
And denim. That is the Billy Crystal look. And white shoes
on it. White. Oh, yeah.
Even some with him wearing leather pants.
Ooh.
Like Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Murphy from
or whatever. Yeah.
Billy Crystal, Eddie Murphy, same level of cool. Yep.
Yeah.
And then the beard too. He did go through like the beard era.
Oh yeah,
Billy Crystal beard era. Let's see. Directed by Donald Petrie, who also directed some bangers. Kind of. He did Miss Congeniality, the Sandy Bullock vehicle.
Yeah.
Grumpy Old Men.
I love Jack Lemmon.
Walter Matthau. Yeah.
What a classic.
That's a banger. Like,
they're old guys and they're fucking grumpy about things.
Goddamn right.
Dublin Snow.
Yeah. And isn't the whole premise they're both trying to like bang some chick? Yeah. You know, like fighting over who's going to try to bang this chick.
Wasn't it like Sophia Loren or something? Yeah.
Like Raquel Welch. Something like that.
Which, no. I mean, hey, I don't think there's many of those rambling around that age bracket.
No.
Shoot your shot.
Absolutely.
Why not? Also directed Richie Rich. And Welcome to Mooseport.
That's great.
Range.
Welcome to Mooseport. Is that Ray Romano?
Yes.
And
Hackman.
Hackman. Yeah. Hackman. Yeah.
Ray Romano.
Yeah,
Ray Romano and Gene Hackman.
Yeah.
Like, why is Gene Hackman making that? The guy who like retired from acting because he's like, he's too good for it, basically. Like, welcome to Mooseport. All right. Budget for this movie is $50 million.
A lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Box office, 177.5. So this was a very popular movie when it came out.
You did say Kate Hudson gets a top billing. I'm wondering if she got paid more. Was she like the hotness at the time in the early 2000s over McConaughey?
Oh yeah. She was hotter than McConaughey at the time.
Yeah.
I think that might go against our, feminist, viewpoint that we started the
podcast. I don't even remember what you're talking about.
Toxic femininity, right? Making more money than us.
Yeah. McConaughey definitely got paid more than she did for this.
I'm sure. Even though, cause I was thinking about this when I was watching it too, I was like, Are they the leading acting family in Hollywood?
The Hudsons?
And, you know, Goldie Hawn, Rock Hudson, Oliver Hudson. Then you got Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell. I mean, he raised her pretty much. So are they the elite? I mean, are they bigger than the Coppolas with, you know, the Cage
acting?
And
like, well, and yeah, because they're all actors. So,
also, I mean, you got Cage and Talia Shire and Jason Schwartz and Sophia Coppola. I think she's
Yeah, that's right. The Coppola families include Nick Cage. That's Cage. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like are not a lot of actors. So,
yeah,
I think so. Right?
I think they're the family of acting.
Mom and daughter at one point in their career were the biggest actresses in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And then she made You, Me, and Dupree.
Yep.
You fucking kill a dog in a movie, like, you're dead to me.
Your career is going to tank.
I'm sorry. If you're in that movie, you're dead to me. Yeah.
She's only 46. I didn't know that.
Good for her.
I'm not saying that based on looks. I thought she was just older than that.
Yeah.
Beautiful woman. I'm not.
She does look
I'm
good. Not, yeah.
Yeah.
We said that when we watched the Onion movie or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I just thought she was like 50 or something, which I guess 4 years is trivial, but.
Got it. I mean, at 50, she should just walk off a bridge, right, King? Well, what you're saying? Like
actresses in Hollywood, once they turn 30, I thought you just kick them to the curb, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what happens?
Next thing, please.
That's how we got Sabrina Carpenter. Let's not do this.
can we you know who? Stop?
You know who you Ortega. We don't want to do this.
No. You know who you left out in the casting of this was you left out Lilith from Cheers.
I did. Yeah. I don't know her actual name.
I don't remember her name either.
She was the boss. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was great. She had like a nice few year run. And yeah, after Cheers, like I don't really remember her in anything, I guess, other than this.
Did you actually watch Cheers?
I did, yeah.
A little? Randomly?
Just on repeats, right?
Yeah, like randomly.
It was weird that I only started watching it really when like Woody came on board and Kirstie Alley, who's awful in it. I don't like
Kirstie Alley. She's dead, right?
No, I think she's living.
Oh, I thought she had recently died of cancer or something.
That's a good question.
She was one of those people who was like, I'm not doing chemo. I have moon rocks.
I could definitely see that.
Crystals and tarot cards. Please, Mr. Fauci, keep away your medicine.
She died in 22. Yeah. So there you go.
Told you.
This guy knows his actresses from the mid-90s.
I do know my Weight Watcher actresses.
Look who's talking. Look who's talking too. He's all over it.
Bow, bow, get around. I get around.
She died at the age of 71. She definitely did undergo chemo, it says. No. So,
I'm an asshole. Sorry.
I'm glad you said it.
And I thought she was a rock person. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No worries. Crystals. Yeah.
Crystals.
Get it right. So I wrote down about halfway through this movie, because as you guys know, I take notes every movie we watch. I wrote that down.
Probably goes to OMSI.
Yeah. Nerd.
Nerd.
I wrote down, I hate this movie like halfway through, and I came around on it. So the reason I hated this movie is because of the reason I hate a lot of movies.
There was a strong female role.
Thank you. I'm glad you said it. Yeah. As soon as she started introducing Pink into the movie, I was like, sorry, babe. Yeah.
Sorry, doll.
Doll.
Oh, this is fantastic.
Misogyny's awesome.
This is fantastic. Yeah. It's because this movie was doing stuff that like I really, really hate in movies. Like Meet the Fockers, and there was the other one with like Zach Galifianakis or whatever, and he was like movies where the character is, and I know that's like the plot of this movie, like she's supposed to do that, but I fucking hate watching it where the, like, a character is just a dick to the other character and the character just puts up with it and deals with it, and there's no limit to the amount of bullshit they will put up. And I know that's the point. That's like that's the plot of this movie. I understand that, but I fucking hate watching it. As soon as they started, like as soon as they had the scene where they went to the family's house, that's when this movie turned around for me, and I really started to enjoy it. Like, it became an actual, like, nice romantic comedy love story that I enjoyed watching. Everything prior to it just fucking pissed me off. I was sitting there like angry. Like when she goes in on like the boys' night or whatever, and like,
oh, yeah, that's...
like that scene fucking made me so mad. Like I was like because like a rational person, like obviously she's not acting irrationally, but a rational person on his end would be like, hey, like, are you okay? Like, what's going on? Like, because this is not like how you were acting like a few days ago. Like, is everything all right? Like, I'm actually concerned because you're acting wildly different than you were before. Like, is everything all right? I don't even know you. I've known you for like a few days. So is everything okay? I'm just checking in.
Well, they did bring it up with his buddies, like, she's bipolar is like the conclusion they came to.
Which
that's the amount of like him, like, are you okay? It's like, oh yeah, she's just bipolar, right? That's all it is.
Yeah. So listener, if you haven't actually seen this movie, the plot of it is Andy is a writer. She works for like the most famous women's magazine in the world.
Essentially, Cosmopolitan is essentially.
And she's
they
like,
call it the rag on the streets.
Yeah.
She's
get it.
Jesus.
Layered. Comedy.
Onions.
That joke's got wings.
Oh, bloody hell. Good joke.
She she's a writer and she's like an advice columnist basically. And she wants to do more. She aspires to do more. And so, like, to save her friend, like, because her friend had like a bad experience with a breakup, and the boss of the magazine was saying like, okay, somebody write about her experience, like somebody write about it or whatever, blah blah blah. And to save her friend, Andy comes up with this idea to how to get a guy to break up with you in 10 days, it's, basically.
Yeah, do all the cliche things that women think drive men away.
Yeah, that drive men away and see if it works, essentially. Mm-hmm. And, like, that was the whole thing. Like, she met Ben, played by Matthew McConaughey, and that was her whole goal. Ben, on the other hand, is an ad dude and was trying to win an account to, like, sell...
diamonds.
Like, win this diamond account or whatever. From Robert Klein, who's his boss. And there's these two female ad people who he's like going against, who they all sort of came to this agreement that he would have to make any woman fall in love with him in 10 days. And so they happened to match up, and that's how it worked out.
Very extremely dumb, very dumb plot.
Yeah.
But and I'm 100%. And
so real quick, and the whole movie is her trying to annoy him enough to have him break up with her. And he obviously has this deal going where his job depends on it. And so his whole goal is to make her fall in love with him no matter what. So there you go. Conflict. No,
and I am with you. Like, the first half of this movie was fucking brutal.
Brutal.
But especially like the Catherine Hahn scene where she's like in her bed after she's broke up with this guy after seeing each other for a week. The first half of this movie is like a bad Sex in the City episode, just bad. And then I'm with you when she goes to like the family barbecue or whatever it is, it turns around and it's enjoyable.
I sort of liked it after that.
Resizes that day.
You did.
It's cute. It's cute.
It actually ended up being kind of cute. Yep. So I guess some of the things, so like, again, like the reason I didn't really enjoy that first half is because they sort of just did like rapid fire her fucking with him. And, you know, like, I don't like seeing people be fucked with. Like, it's sort of like my personality does not mesh with the first half of this movie at all. So I don't watch TV shows or movies like that. If I see somebody getting fucked with in real life, I will like help that person if I can. And this, the whole, it was like just nonstop, like the Knicks game, her like making him go get like a diet soda or whatever. And, you know, like taking him to the Celine Dion concert, which by the way, like,
hey, I'd go
over the Knicks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll go see Celine over the Knicks all day long. Yep. But you know, like going over, like interrupting the boys' night with the friends, leaving him like all the voicemails, stopping off at his work like unannounced, and getting the dog that pisses on everything, and like just all of these things. And I'm just like, I don't like this movie.
See, I think I found the problem with it in that first half too. This is a rom-com, right? The com is supposed to be comedy. If it was funny with how she was messing with him, it might have played better instead of just being, I know she's supposed to be doing the cliched things, but it could have been funny. You could have found some original ways to make it entertaining for people. But yeah, it's.
Was this bad. Funny in 2003?
No, I don't think so.
That's not her like best like trait as an actress is. There were a few scenes where she was trying to be a jerk, and you knew she was trying to be a jerk.
Yeah,
it just didn't.
Yeah,
like it just.
That's a good point. Like Kate Hudson's like too nice to play an asshole. Yeah,
that's a problem with all those ones. It's like trying to see Sandy Bullock or like Reese Witherspoon be jerks. Yeah. They've spent their whole career trying to be like the over the top nice, you know, Southern Belle kind of person,
the lovable person. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. It's that's hard to switch, turn that switch on of, oh, now you're the bad guy, essentially, in a movie.
Like the couples therapy scene made me angry as well.
Yeah.
Because that also wasn't funny. And that is like peak him getting fucked with. Like that's gaslighting. Mm-hmm. Like he's getting,
look at you.
I know. Like I know terms.
And scammed him out of $300 on top of it.
Yep. Hello fellow youths. Yeah. I know terms. Oh god.
And the other problem is that you have Thomas Lennon as, you know, supposed to be like his buddy sidekick. He's a very funny person.
Yeah,
nothing they did with the guys was funny either. So it's not just, you know, the women not being funny. Everyone in this movie was not funny.
2003, like Adam Goldberg was funny too. Like you had Goldberg.
Get a bagel. I'm switching over a bagel.
No, but like you're totally right. To your point, like the comic relief wasn't funny.
Again, is that the early 2000s rom-com? Yeah. I don't think any of them were actually funny, like comedy funny-wise at least.
I think you look at this on paper, like even though it was 2003, you got Catherine Hahn, you got Tom Lennon and Adam Goldberg as the buddies, like the comic relief friends. And you look at it now and you're like, fuck. Catherine Hahn, like, she is great. Like, this is gonna be funny, like, no doubt. And it wasn't. Nope. Like, they worked. Yeah. But again, as this movie went on, and after that scene, I think this movie got actually good. Like, I actually enjoyed seeing the love story unfold. Like, after they had the scene at the banquet where they both found out about each other's thing, and then she wrote the article, they meet on the bridge, they make up, all this stuff. I think that's great. I think the ending was good. I think them coming back together was good. Again, they've only known each other for 10 days, so I don't know. There's probably a lot more each other is going to learn about each other, as we know, as people who have actually been in relationships before. But I thought it was cute. It ended up being cute.
Do you want to know what the number one ranked 2000s rom-com is? No, you don't. It stars Mel Gibson. So moving on.
What Women Want?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the first time Mel showed his feminine side in that movie.
2 weeks
and then ago, and they went on a tirade about hating the Jews not long after. So
yeah, I think you'd relate, King.
I love the top ten. What Women Want,
yep.
Kate and Leopold, white people, Amelie, white people, The Wedding Planner, predominantly white, Bridget Jones's Diary, white people. Serendipity, white people. Kate Beckinsale, John Cusack, white people. Made in Manhattan, oh, well, mainly white people.
Jenny from the Block,
Alabama, white people. 2 Weeks Notice, white people. My Big Fat Greek Wedding, all really white people.
Really white people.
Rounding out the top 10, Brown Sugar. Everyone is not white.
Where's Love and Basketball? Where's Love and Basketball?
I was going to say Love and Basketball had it been.
It's not in the top 15. I'm just telling you.
You bounce Amelie, because Amelie's not even like a love
story. Love, it's behind Love, yeah, Must Love
porn.
Dogs.
Get out of here. My God, get out of here. Miss me with that.
Where was Chocolat in this?
It's number 23.
Somebody made a list that long. That
they
is
really
crazy.
Did. Oh, my God.
All right, we got to grade this thing, guys. We got like
what's
a minute
that of
left.
This week?
Let's go five. Let's go five. Let's go out of five. I'll start. I'm going to give this like a 2.75. As the movie is going on, I'm like, this is a one. But it grew on me. So 2.75.
2.33. I like the You're So Vain scene.
Like I said, the first half was a half a point or a zero. Second half was like a 3.5. I'll give it a 2.25.
All right.
Knicks were in it.
Shout out to Rihanna from Klamath and all you wacky pelicans and hustling owls. Thank you.
Yeah. By the way, thanks for like making us go outside of our comfort zone movie wise. Because
we
had
to watch women in a movie. Ugh.
Yeah. Pass.
Nothing giving them power. No voices for you.
This is definitely the only way we're going to watch it is if a listener suggests it, though.
I'm not just turning on any of the early 2000 rom-coms for my own enjoyment. That's